This morning we're going to look at showing genuine concern. And we're going to look at this based upon what Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 19. So if you have your Bibles, you may want to go ahead and get them and turn to Philippians chapter 2. Later on in your small groups, you're going to be looking at what Rick calls observation. And it's kind of what you have to do anytime you sit down and look at Scripture. You need to observe what it is that God is showing us. See what the Word has to say to us. So that's called observation. So let's take our Bibles and we'll start here with verse 19, chapter 2 again. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I'm confident in the Lord that I myself may come soon. But I think it necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy upon him, and not only him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help that you were not able to give. Father, as we come to this time of your word, I just pray that each one of us allow your word to speak to us, that we open our hearts, our minds, and we listen to what your Spirit would say this morning through your word. I pray, Father, that I just stay out of your way as your messenger, and that each one of us, myself included, hear afresh the things that you want to show us as we observe your Scripture this morning. Lord Jesus, if there be any that be in any of our services today or who will be watching on the internet today or later on when they watch the DVD, if they don't know your Son Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, I'd pray, Father, that through the power of your Spirit, that they would come to know your love and they would receive Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. Again, Father, you guide us this morning. You illuminate your Scriptures. You help each one of us as you speak to us to see that which you want, that which you want in each one of us to come about. And I just lift this up in Jesus' name. Amen. There are a couple of observations as we go through this passage, and I kind of want to unpack them with you as we look at these. As we started off there in verse 19, we saw that Paul's getting ready to send Timothy. He wants to send Timothy on a mission, if you will. But he is really, one of the things that you see as you look at this passage is Paul's encouraged. Paul is really encouraged. And what he's encouraged about is he's encouraged about other believers and the things that God is doing through other believers. Amen? He's talked about this. If you read any of the Pauline letters, you see this over and over where he's commending, he's happy, he's praising about some of the things that God is doing through the life of other believers. Stop and think about in our own lives as a church. Don't we kind of get excited when we hear about what missionaries are doing? I mean, don't we go, wow, that was neat. Don't we get kind of excited when we hear about something that went on in one of our people's lives where they just saw God at work? And doesn't that kind of, you know, you kind of go, yeah, Don't you kind of want to go, yeah, God, go, God, get it, do it. Amen? Get kind of excited a little bit. You know, so when we hear these reports, just like Paul, we need to be encouraged. And we need to show cheer, just like Paul. Personally, I think we ought to cheer God anytime that we see him doing anything at all, whether he's doing it through Dallas Baptist Church, whether he's doing it through a member, whether he's doing it through one of the churches here in the United States of America, or whether he's doing it in one of our Bible-believing, Christ-centered churches all over the world. I think we ought to go, yes! But so often, what do? We get jealous. I don't like that. They went and did that, and they got bigger off of that deal. I don't like that. Amen? We don't need to be jealous. We all serve the same God. Amen. And his name is Jesus Christ. We ought to be excited with that type of thing. You know, one of the things that I was reminded of as I was reading this and saw how excited Paul was, he's cheered and about all this good news and stuff. How often do we hear people criticize people like Rick Warren? Amen? You know, we'll hear him being criticized, and, to his credit, Rick doesn't even give him the time of day. Praise God. He doesn't waste his time with him. I think that's one of the reasons why the ministry is effective. But here's something I've found out, and I keep up to date pretty much with what they're doing and everything, but one of the things that Saddleback just recently did is they launched the 6th International Church Campus. International, not local. They now have 6 large international church campuses in countries where you don't want to mention Jesus Christ very much. But they're growing. Praise God. They've also started hundreds of new churches here in the United States of America that are alive and well, and not only just alive and well, guess what they're doing? They're multiplying. Whoa. I mean, isn't that, we ought to be cheering. Amen. Uh-huh. Not Rick. We ought to be cheering what God's doing. Because he's the one. We ought to be cheering what God's doing through any of these type of ministries. But what do we do so often? And think about yourself. Ask yourself, do I cheer when I hear those type of good things, or do I get jealous? God doesn't want us to be jealous, does he? Cheer him. Tell him, yeah, God, go. Use it. Do it. Anyway, one of the other things that struck me, and particularly in this passage, was that here's Paul telling the Philippian church. He's telling the Philippians that you really need to have Christ's interest first in your lives and not your own. If you look down here, he talks in verse 20. He says, I have no one else like him. He's talking about Timothy. He says, he takes a genuine interest in your welfare, and for everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Christ. We need to be looking out for the Christ interest. Amen?
Amen.
Not our own interest. We've got to have Jesus first in our lives. He really does. He's got to be there first. Because if we have him first in our lives and we're looking out for his interest, you know what? Something's going to come out of our mouths that reflect Jesus.
Amen.
Something will come out of our actions that reflect Jesus Christ. And those type of things will be acted out toward other people who are in this world. We're going to show people Jesus Christ through our lives, through our talk, and we'll share the gospel with them. Yeah? Amen. That's what Paul's talking about. And he said, I've got these two young guys. One of them's named Timothy, one of them's named this other long name, Epaphroditus. And he says, these guys have got it. Look at their lives. Because that's really what it's all about. Good examples of first following Jesus, and out of that, showing a good, Christ-like concern for other people. What Paul's talking about is the same thing James wrote about in James chapter 2. James said that our faith has got to be alive. Amen? He said, faith without works is what?
Dead.
And that's what Paul's talking about, that he sees here in Timothy, and he sees here in Epaphroditus. He sees an alive, living, vibrant, Christ-honoring faith that's at work, that's touching other people. And the reason this is so important, see, this is the first thing that you got to see out as you come into this passage, because the rest of it's all hinged around this. These are visible traits of what the Christian's all about. Loving my Lord Jesus Christ above all else, and out of that, expressing that love toward brothers and sisters in Christ, expressing that love towards folks who don't have him yet. That's what it's about. So we have this reminder that our lives should be a visible example. They should be visible of following Christ. It's something that we actually do. We are not called to be closet Christians. Amen. We're really not. We are not called. We were not saved. Jesus didn't go to the cross and die. We're going to celebrate a little bit later on the Lord's Supper to remember him. But he didn't go to the cross and died so that we could be church house Christians. Almost. So that we could be church house Christians. I didn't say house church Christians. There's two differences. Church house Christians. You know what a church house Christian is? Anybody? Anybody want to venture a guess? Thank you very much. They come to church, and that's their Christian walk, and that's it. They show up they come Sunday mornings. It's kind of like the person that's got a Christian mask, and they put the Christian mask on, and their whole countenance changes. They pull into the church parking lot. Actually, what they do is they pull into the church parking lot and reach around back into the back seat and grab it and put it on. And then they come into the church house. They sing praises. They listen to the preaching. They pray a few words. They throw some money in the plate. They walk back out to their car afterwards. They pitch their mask back into the back of the car. They peel out onto the highway, and they flip off the first person they see going down the road. And then they go into road rage, and then they're cursing the kids, and they're calling everybody this, that, and the other. And then they go to lunch, and they have preacher for dinner, and they continue to go, and their whole week just lives that. And then they come back on Sunday morning, and what do? Reach back there, grab my Christian mask, and put it back on. And here I come. I come back in, and I sit in my pew, and here I'm so cute. Aren't I good? And they criticize us about being hypocrites. Yeah. That is a church house Christian. These two guys that Paul's talking about, Timothy and Epaphroditus, were not church house Christians. They were the real McCoys. There's so much more to being a Christian than just being known in the community as being a good person. Amen? Amen. Anybody can be a good person. Work real hard at it. I can be a good person too. With Christ, I don't have a whole lot. It's a lot easier, I'll just tell you. It really is. So we need to be seen. And that's what these guys were. They were seen. They were visible examples of Christ living in their lives and living out their lives. So as we look at this morning, they're kind of like role models. So we're going to look at a short video clip on role models.
Did the greatest.
I love you, my mom.
consistent with people that I admire, who have been my role models, have been personal integrity, effort, subtlety, and true love for the people we're close to. I don't remember his name, but I remember the person. He was a hardcore, old school welder, really rough around the edges. He spoke the truth, whether happy or not.
Well, right now the guy that is my mentor for at the hospital, he's pretty amazing. I mean, he's an attending trauma surgeon. He also works in the surgical intensive care and does mountain climbing. And he got the Civilian Medal of Honor last year for services above and beyond. He went out to Haiti and Pakistan on humanitarian work.
My dad's a physician, but he's also a pianist and an artist.
I'm going to kiss my dad, even though my mom isn't in town with her as well right now.
Who's my mom?
Your mom? What did you see in her that made her a good role model?
Just how strong she was and the way she supported me on the road.
Do you have any celebrity role models?
I used to like Martin Lawrence a lot.
Martin Lawrence, okay. What did you like about him?
He was a star in me, but my wife wasn't a dad. And just watching him in the house also.
Kind of silly, but Kyle Busch. I am a huge Ray Park fan. He's so young, he's my age, and the things that he's accomplished is just amazing.
Is there any particular celebrity that's been a role model?
No.
Tim Tebow. Maybe not like personally, like what kind of person I want to be, but financially, Dave Ramsey.
The celebrities that I've said want to look like Ryan Gosling, but I don't know how to act like him.
Role model somewhere else?
I try to be a role model every day of my life.
I have a little sister, yeah. Probably one of
my
little sisters.
I hope it's my son.
I've been told I have been. I don't feel like I am.
I have former students that I know that still, you know, they've moved on in their lives, but they still contact me, you know, asking for advice on things, that sort of stuff. Do you feel like in your own life that you've been a role model with someone else?
I hope so, yeah.
I hope so. I'm a teacher.
I would imagine that I have been. I didn't strive for that role, but I have 3 sons and 5 grandkids, so regardless of what you believe about yourself, you are going to be a role model. So you try the best you can to be one that's worthy of emulating.
Every one of us, it's hooked on a loop. Every one of us, though, is a role model one way or another, because people see our lives. I wonder if Jesus asked us the question this morning, are you a good role model of me? What would we have to say to him? Well, as I looked at, Paul's holding up these two guys, and he's saying, look, here's two fellas. They are real role Christian role models. So I had to ask myself, as I'm trying to observe some things out of this scripture passage, what was it that Paul really saw? Because you have to see something if you're going to say somebody is something. Amen? You need to be able to see something. So if we look at the first couple of verses, and one of the things that Paul was praising was this genuine Christian concern that Timothy just exuded. It was there. It wasn't that Timothy had to go out of his way to try to do it. He was doing this. Now, it wasn't something that Timothy just decided he was going to do, but it went back as you continue to read and you dig a little bit about Timothy. He was brought up this way. And as Timothy grew up, he started following Jesus. Amen? And as he followed Jesus, his life started to show Christ. Because his life now was something that Paul was personally observing, and Paul was seeing Timothy's actions. He was seeing Timothy's conduct. He was seeing who Timothy really was. And he's able to say, based on all of that, he said, this guy really shows genuine concern. And when I send him to you, didn't sit there and go, I hope he's going to show the same thing. He said, he's going to show exactly the same characteristics when he's there in your presence. Visible. Why was Timothy like that? Jesus Christ. You see, how oftentimes, how often do we sit down and talk about, oh, we ought to be concerned about this, we ought to be concerned about that, we ought to do this, ought to get involved in this, we ought to get involved in that, yada, 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 right? This would be really, this is really good. We could show Jesus through this. Amen? And whatever this is came and went. And a little bit later we start, we could really, we could show Jesus. We could do this. We could do that. We ought to do this. We ought to show this concern. We ought to da, 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 da. And the opportunity for this or that came and went again. See, we end up doing, it's unfortunate. In the Christian community, we really do. We end up doing an awful lot of empty talk, don't we? When you get right down to it. And a lot of talk with no action is empty concern. It's that plain and simple. It's easy to talk about all the stuff that we ought to do, but the world needs to see us living it. That's all the doing is. It's not doing things. It's being who Christ is in us. And doing those concerns, meeting those needs because He is in us. Ministering because He is in us. Ministering because it's His concern, not mine. Amen? That's what ministry is about. You know, as you look and you say, okay, well, Timothy, I wonder what Timothy and wonder what Epaphroditus actually had seen. What was it that was kind of motivating them? They had come to the point in their lives where they understood that it was all about Jesus. They had come to understand that when Jesus, for instance, in Matthew 9:36, got out of the boat, or actually, he saw the crowds. Listen to this. He didn't get out of a boat that time. But he comes, and there is a huge crowd in Matthew 9:36. Now, if Jesus were concerned about Jesus as a man, he'd have gone, hooray, I got a mega church to preach to today. Boy, they must think I am pretty good for them to all come here. Yeah. When we get done passing the plate, I'm going to be a rich rascal. Amen. But he saw the crowd, and his first thought was, I've got compassion for them because they are harassed, they are helpless, they are like sheep that have no shepherd. He felt compassion. You know why Jesus felt compassion? You have to remember, Jesus was God, Jesus was man, 100%. 100% man, 100% God. He had the same temptations you had and the same temptations I have. What did he do regularly? Oh, he prayed. He stayed in contact with the Father all the time. He had the Father's heart. So when he steps out and he sees the crowd, he has the same compassion that the Father has for the people. Amen. And he's moved by it. In addition, another example was in Matthew 14:14. That was the one I was going to go with first, and I'm kind of switching around, but anyway. There he comes and he lands, gets out of the boat. And probably as he saw him as the boat is approaching the shore. And here's another one of these big monster crowds. And once again, he could have said, yeah, woohoo, look at my crowd, look at my following, look at my church. Amen? And what did he do? He had compassion. Why? Because he had the Father's heart. He had the God heart. He talked with God all the time. And he knew what God wanted him to do. And he got out and he did something. He healed them. He healed their sicknesses. He healed their injuries. Amen. Because he cared about them. See, that tells us that this genuine compassion plays out when you and I are listening to Jesus Christ in our lives. I have to listen to him first. I've got to follow him first. And as I look at Jesus' life, I know that Timothy, Epaphroditus, and Paul, and all the other apostles, one of the things they recognized that he prayed, he talked to God a lot. And out of that, whenever he came into any situation, no matter where he was, he opened his eyes and he saw what was going on with God's eyes. He saw God's heart as he looked. He saw God's heart. And out of that, as he watched and he kept his eyes open and he would see the need, he did something. He responded. Amen. He touched the need over and over and over. It's all about one thing. It's all about one thing and one thing only. It's all about making Jesus choices. That's all. You get down to the nitty-gritty, that whole passage was all about one thing. Who are you going to choose? Are you going to choose yourself? Or are you going to choose Jesus? Because if you choose Jesus, he wants you to follow him. And he wants you to do it daily. And we're going to fail. But you know what? He just wants us to communicate with him and then respond wherever you are to whatever you see. Respond with Jesus' love. Father, thank you so much that we could, that you gave us this passage to look at this morning. And I ask, Father, that as we take a few moments to let your Holy Spirit have his way with our lives, that as we pray, as we talk to you, if maybe there's some areas that we just haven't given over completely to you, maybe we just don't check in with you and put your interests first. Maybe we're more concerned about ourselves. Help us, Father, to just say, I'm sorry. And help us to turn back to you, allowing you then to do the work that only you can do in our lives. Because, Father, this world needs to see Jesus Christ. They need to see him living in each one of the people who call themselves born-again Christians. So I pray, Father, that as we just allow you to minister to us and you show us and you give us the power and you give us the ability each and every day, let us open our eyes and see this world, see people with your eyes, and then act the way you would have us to do. Help us to be kind of like the Samaritan who took time out of his busy schedule and said, yes, I'll help. And he helped that man that had been beaten, stripped, robbed, and left for dead. He had your heart, Lord. Help us to have your heart. It may be, Lord, that there'll be one of us that maybe he just needs to talk to a neighbor. Take some time. rather than barricading ourselves in our home. Maybe there's a neighbor who's hurting. Maybe he or she lost a job or whatever. Help us to have your heart. Help us to put your concerns above ours, so that one day we can hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Kind of like Epaphroditus heard the words coming from Paul saying he was a good soldier. Help us, Lord. Help us to be like that good soldier and just follow you. I pray this in your name. Lord Jesus, thank you. If there's any praise team, if you will, let's have some quiet music in the background.